All right, the sixth point. He said, and by preparation for that rest that remaineth for the people of God. Now here's something that's very deep. And I'm not saying that I'm able to go down and get it. But I have done a lot of studying about it, and I'm going to pass it on and let you think about it. And we may look up a position taken by one that I consider a very learned man. I don't agree with him on everything he says or writes, but I guess I agree with him more than any other man I've ever read after. Hebrews 4, 3 to 11. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in, or enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day. Now that's what I want you to think about. Again, he limiteth a certain day. Saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus, now that word Jesus is Joshua. Joshua. Now, in the Greek, it's Jesus. In the Hebrew, it was Joshua. But it's brought over into the New Testament Greek with the Hebrew, Jesus. Oh, I've got that right backwards. It's brought over into the Greek with the name Jesus when it was Joshua in Hebrew. If Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. I want to read you what B.H. Carroll has to say about that. And then I'll let you decide for yourself. The Sabbath keeping of the new covenant is the heading that he puts on there. He says the whole matter is found in Hebrews 4:4-11. The interpretation is contestedly difficult, and the best of scholars differ widely as to the import. The reader will understand that the views now presented are not urged dogmatically. He's not taking a dogmatic approach to it, but are offered for fair consideration along with variant views. Take them at their intrinsic value and from your own judgment. First of all, read the whole passage carefully, and particularly note the following words in the original. The word word rest, Greek, here's the Greek word for it, kataposis. Kataposis. And you'll find that same Greek word used in 3:11 to 18, 4:1, 3:8, 10 and 11. The seventh day, the Greek is hebdom, and that's in the fourth verse of that chapter. Number three, another day that he mentions here is Greek, alla himera. See the difference in the Greek words that are used in the same category? So, in the fourth case, the Sabbath keeping, the Greek is sabbatismus. Sabbatismus. That's the Greek word. Now, every one of them has got a different Greek word. And that's what makes the difficulty. The difficulty of interpretation has resulted from three causes. A failure to note the contrast between the seventh day in verse 4 and another day in verse 8. In translating Sabbatismus in verse 9 as if it were kataposis, rest, uniformly in all the contexts when the apostle means the rest in any sense, he uses kataposis, the Greek word. The change to sabbatismus is a verbal noun and means the keeping of a Sabbath, and so explains the contrast between the seventh day as appointed of old and another day foretold in the prophetic song. That's pretty deep, isn't it? But he's a smart man. And the Greek scholar. So that gets us through this article. Our next article will be of civil government. So we won't start on that tonight. We wouldn't get too far anyway with the time we have. So I'll just read the points involved in the article and we'll leave it there until another time. This is a good article, all right. We believe that civil government is a divine appointment. Now that's backed up by the Bible. There is no power but of God. Now, God is the author of civil government as well as religious orders. And we're admonished to let every soul be subject to them. The second point in order in that is this. I wanted to combine two right here for us to give serious consideration to. And that is that we are to be conformed to the law of our land in everything except that is opposed to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are not bound by the scriptures and by the Lord in obeying any law that brings us in jeopardy with principles. I know a lot of people that have lost their lives down, I didn't know the people, but the history tells us about them, that they were willing to lay down their lives rather than to obey the magistrates. And I sometimes wondered, maybe I had no right to, and don't help tonight. But I have a feeling, I believe with all my heart, if the time should come, that we had to face the same thing that our forefathers did years ago. The same God that gave them the grace to die would give us grace to die. Yeah, I believe that. We never have faced it. So we'll leave as it is right there tonight. And next, I guess we have anything left. Next Sunday night, we can continue it, can't we?
Lesson number 13.
I'd like to compliment the singing. I hear singing all over the house. I like that. And again, I want to thank everybody for your support and coming and helping out at the taping session, the singing. I read last Wednesday night, I guess it was, the 16th article of faith, but we didn't do much commenting on it. I'll read it again tonight, give you the points. We believe that civil government is a divine appointment for the interests and good order of human society, and that magistrates are to be prayed for, conscientiously honored, and obeyed, except only in things opposed to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only Lord of the conscience and the Prince of the kings of the earth. Now that's briefly put, but specific. The points in that is, the first one, we believe the civil government is a divine appointment for the interests and good order of human society. And number two, that magistrates are to be prayed for, conscientiously honored, and obeyed. Number three, except only in things opposed to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, who is the only Lord of the conscience and the and the prince of the kings of the earth. Let's see some scriptures on that line. The first one, Romans 13:1-7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now that's not just talking about heavenly powers or the Holy Spirit. And listen to this, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. In other words, God is the originator and the author of all of our civil powers, laws, and government. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now right here, I want to take the time to correct some ideas that might be prevalent and has been prevalent in the mind of some people. Now that word damnation is having reference to judgment. And if a person violates the civil law, he might get by if he wasn't caught, but if he's caught, he's going to go pay a fine or go to court and be judged regarding his disobedience. I had a little experience with that a while back. I guess you have too. I didn't have to go to court, but I had to pay a fine. I ran a stop sign. I didn't see it, but I should have. All right. It goes to show you we can't keep it. We can't keep all the laws. We're going to violate some of them. All right. And they that resist shall receive themselves damnation or judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. That's where the terror is. No judgment for a good work. No condemnation for a good work, but for that is wrong. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Yeah. It teaches you. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, taxes. Kind of goes against the grain sometimes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. That couldn't be placed any simpler. In Deuteronomy 16:18, going back in the Old Testament, judges and officers, now this is a command, this is an order that was given. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. Now, of course, God is the one who instituted these laws and this order of government. But you remember Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, was the one that introduced it, telling Moses, his son-in-law, that he had too big a load. He couldn't handle all of it, and he needed to appoint judges to handle the smaller matters, leaving the larger decisions and judgments to himself. And that's what brought it about. 2 Samuel 23:3. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. That's not always the case, is it? Should be. And God ordained it would be, but it's not that way every time. Exodus 18:23. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace, Moses. Jeremiah 30:21. I don't have much time to elaborate on these, but the one point in this last statement in Exodus 18:23, it's always a peaceful thing to stay in line with the law. If we could always do that, we'd always have peace, but we slip once in a while. Maybe not intentional, but it happens. Jeremiah 30:21. And their nobles shall be of themselves, talking about the Jews or Israel. And their governor shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me, for who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord. This brings about the need of a mediator. And there were mediators under the law of Moses. And even today we have lawyers, attorneys, who study the law. I would like to think that all of them are honest. Sometimes I think they're just about as bad to find loopholes as anybody. But nevertheless, there are mediators that study the law and go between the offender and the law. Now that's another thing that is introduced by that practice way back yonder under the law to teach us there is no way for the sinner to approach God except through a mediator. And that mediator is Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for him, we couldn't get to God. He wouldn't hear us. We are heard in our praying, even when we were saved, because of Jesus Christ, who paid the price of our salvation. And God is able to look at the sacrifice. And for the sake of the sacrifice, not for our sake, but for Jesus' sake, save us from sin. And he did. Number two, magistrates are to be prayed for, conscientiously honored and obeyed. Matthew 22:21. You remember what Jesus told those who were so strict in the law of Moses and trying to make it appear that they were always in line with the law. He said, render the therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and the things which are God, the things which are his. Titus 3:1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now this is admonition to a young preacher, minister, as to how he was to preach to the people and what he was supposed to teach them. That they were to be subject to principalities, that is, governments, the laws of the government, and those who were administering the law, they were to be honest with them, and to be ready to every good work. 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. For whose sake? For the Lord's sake. Now that's a very short command, but it's specific. 1 Timothy 2:1-8. I exhort therefore that first of all, listen, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings. Now we don't have them here, but we can pray for those that are in other countries. And for all that be in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now here is a scripture that slaps in the face people that claim that God had a certain number to save in the beginning and they would be the only ones. Well, now this says that God would have all men to be saved. And that's not all. Jesus Christ died for all men. Provision were made for the salvation of the whole world. And God knew from the very beginning who would meet the conditions and who wouldn't. And the only reason that people will go to hell and have gone to hell is because of their stubborn will not to hear and heed the gospel call. That's the only sensible way, logical and reasonable way that anybody could look at it. Number three. Except only in things opposed to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this says, we are to obey all laws, rules, regulations, except those that are against the laws and rules and principles of God or our Lord. Let's find a few of them. Acts 5:29. You remember the Apostle Peter's word at that time? When they were accosted, arrested for preaching in the name of the Lord. He said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And I say the same thing. There are many men irreligious men out there in the world, if they had their way, there wouldn't be any more preaching. And if they could make a law, and it has been in certain places, against the preaching of the gospel. People have died because of that ruling, who went on and preached just the same. They were willing to give their lives for it. And that's the reason we have the liberty we have today. Matthew 10:28. Now this is the Lord